What's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast.
Okay, before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to give a small update in the Chowchilla bus kidnapping case, which we covered in episode 92. It was one that you guys really liked because it was so insane and it had a happy ending, which was always good, you know?
Yeah.
But there were three perpetrators in the case, and when we discussed it, when we originally released that episode, two of the perpetrators, the two brothers, the Schoenfelds, had been released on parole in 2012 and 2015, but the third perpetrator, who seemed to really be the mastermind behind it all, Frederick Woods, remained in prison. Now, in March, he was put up for parole, but it wasn't really clear whether or not he was going to get parole, but he got parole.
He got paroled.
As of a few days ago, he officially was paroled.
Damn.
So initially, all three of them were sentenced to, I think it was either 37 or 41 years. I can't remember which one, without the possibility of parole. Mm-hmm. But because none of their victims were physically injured, that decision of no possibility of parole was appealed. So now all three of them are out and they get to live their lives freely, despite many of their victims who are now adults now still struggling to cope with everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just wanted to update you guys on that because it was a big case and yeah.
Yeah. All right. So before I get started, I want to address something as well. There is a misconception that Haley and I hate police and it is a completely wrong. I don't even know. First of all, we give credit where credit is due. There are many cases where there are many injustices brought on to families at the hands of police, unfortunately. That does not mean that every police station in the whole entire world, every police officer, every detective, every investigator is a terrible person. We do not think that at all. We support police. We think they do amazing work.
Yeah.
There are a lot of cases where we give lots and lots of praise to police because they do take these cases seriously and they do jump on these cases. And I just want each and every one of you to remind yourself to put yourselves in these families' positions and situations and how you would want it handled. And I think that's what Haley and I try to do, is we put ourselves in the family's, you know, shoes and respond to it accordingly. But we do not hate police. We do not hate investigators, detectives, police forces as a whole. Like, that is not who we are. So I think it's a misconception, and what I just wanted to clear that up. Normally, I don't even bother because people are going to think what they want to think. But we've gotten a few messages recently, and I just wanted to clear that up because,
yeah,
I you know, I support police. So,
yeah,
that's all I have to say about that.
It's a good reminder. And like you said, Andrea, I don't think I even think about it and realize that that's why we do it. But most of the times when we are talking about, you know, something the police maybe didn't do or didn't do the best, it's often because if we were in that situation, we would be extremely upset. And we know that oftentimes they are doing the best job that they can. Mm-hmm. But you just never know. And I think that's part of discussing true crime.
Yeah.
Is talking about the investigative work that was done. And sometimes that includes maybe not the best investigative work. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, with that being said, unfortunately, this case kind of highlights that a little bit. Because I am going to be covering a case that has not gotten media coverage until really recently. Besides, like, local media coverage, and I'm also covering a case of a person of color. Right. So we all know the unfortunate stigma that comes with that. Yeah. But I'm going to be discussing the disappearance of Keisha Jacobs.
Yeah, and I don't think I know this case at all.
I only know this case because I watched the HBO documentary Black and Missing.
Okay.
And her story is just, it's tragic, just like they all are, but it just really pulled at my heartstrings. and I wanted to bring it to you guys because I hadn't heard it. Haley hadn't heard it. Chances are most of you haven't either.
Yeah.
21-year-old Keisha Jacobs was at her home in Richmond, Virginia on the evening of September 26, 2016, getting ready for a night out with friends, you know, like a lot of 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds.
Yeah.
She planned to sleep over at one of her friends' houses who lived in Church Hill after and told her mom her plans as she walked out the door. According to her mother, Tony, Keisha had been, you know, pretty upset about an argument she had had with her boyfriend that night. But before she left, she had calmed down and, you know, things seemed to be going as planned. And she told her mom and her brother that she would be back the next morning because she wanted to make her brother pancakes. That night around 11 p.m., Keisha texted her mom to let her know that she was home safe and would see her the following morning. Yet Keisha never came home as promised. Her mother, Toni, got up for work that morning, got ready, and when she hadn't heard from her daughter by lunchtime, she immediately felt as though something was wrong. Like, Keisha was not the type of person that would leave her mother to worry, number one. And number two, she constantly was in contact with her mom throughout the day. I mean, her mother had text messages on top of text messages and calls in her call log. I mean, they talked all day long. So it was very unlike her to go that long without hearing from her daughter.
Right. I mean, that makes sense.
So not only that, but the girl that Keisha was hanging out with that night, Toni did not care for. She couldn't put a finger on it, but there was definitely a red flag seen as soon as she met her. So a couple of days later, on September 28th, 2016, Toni went down to the Richmond Police Department to file a missing persons report, but found that the actual office was closed due to the time of night it was. So instead, she went back home and called 911 and had them come out to her home to report her daughter missing. Toni was told by police that her daughter is an adult. She can come and go as she pleases, voluntarily.
That drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I get it. I get that you have to respect people's
privacy
boundaries, yeah. But at the same time, how many times are we going to say, if a mother is concerned and there are no other signs of any type of abuse going on in the home or anything, I know that that can be hidden. And I feel like, yeah. Just smacked my microphone. I'm sorry. I feel like it's that's okay. The only time that I understand that, because maybe the person doesn't want to be found. But in a case like this, mm-hmm. when it's clear that that's not what's happening, it's like, they didn't run away. Like, just...
Yeah.
Makes me so mad.
And we will continue to beat that dead horse. I'm sorry.
Yes. Like,
it's just, it's super frustrating. And like you said, I get it. I do get it. They're adults. They do come and go as they please. They are allowed to disappear for 6 months if they want. But these people know their family members or their friends.
Yeah.
And just do a little bit more. Just a little smidgen, you know?
Yeah.
So initially they didn't take this, you know, information as a big deal, and they told her that a person missing isn't technically a crime, which they're right. It's not technically a crime.
Yeah.
So her mother, Toni, decided to take matters into her own hands, and she began reaching out to some of Keisha's friends, and they all agreed to be on the lookout for her and to notify Toni if they see or hear from her. So during her investigation, so this is her mother, some of Keisha's friends actually came forward and revealed that they had dropped her off at a man's house near Chimborazo Park in Church Hill.
Oh, okay.
According to one source, while Toni was doing her own investigation into her daughter's whereabouts, she was able to also locate a woman who alleged that this man had beat her, refused to let her leave his home, and forced her to commit sexual acts against her will.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
So Toni, being the badass bitch that she is, she went to this man's house with her son, Davon, in tow, and she questioned the man herself.
Wow, that's badass.
I know. That's what I mean. I want to think that I would do the exact same thing if my child was missing. I hope that I would have the courage and the drive to do that.
Yeah.
So props to her big time.
But it's still scary, I feel like.
Yeah, it is. I mean, she doesn't know this guy from Adam. And based on what she just learned from this woman who allegedly said these things about him, I mean, she could be potentially going into a very dangerous situation.
Yeah, 100%.
So he did say that he had seen Keisha that Monday around 5 p.m., but Tony knew right away that that was incorrect because her daughter was at home at 5 p.m. on Monday.
Okay.
Then the man changed his story. So he said, oh, no, it was 6 o'clock, then it was 6:30, then it was 7.
Okay, that's when it's like, if you know, if you stick with your story, maybe change small details, but bigger details like that, that, I don't know, I feel like that gets a little suspicious.
Yeah, like if you don't know the time, don't volunteer the time.
Right.
So Tony felt the man was being dishonest from the gate, which also raised a huge red flag with her. So she decided to call the police, and they came down to the man's residence to investigate this possible lead in her case, because at this point they had no idea where she had been that night, but now they did have something.
Okay.
So the police were able to search the man's apartment, and they sadly found no trace of Keisha.
Damn.
Another odd thing was that, number one, this man was 10 plus years older than Keisha, and that was not really, you know, something that she typically did. She didn't really hang out with the older crowd. And she had never mentioned this man to Tony or that she had ever gone to his house before. And evidently, she had been there before, according to him.
Okay.
So Tony and her daughter are very close, and Keisha really told her mother everything, so that news was very disheartening to her, to say the least.
Yeah.
After this encounter, Tony, along with her family, friends, and community, began covering the neighborhood of Church Hill with flyers of Keisha, handing them out to every person they saw, hoping and praying that at least one person may have seen her.
Oh.
Finally, after almost a week of her daughter being missing, a detective from the Richmond Police Department reached out to Tony about her disappearance. And it would be an entire year before the department would reach out to the public for assistance and admit that they believe Keisha had met with foul play.
Oh my gosh.
And at this time, no persons of interest have ever been named, and Richmond Police claims that her case is still open and ongoing.
Okay.
So now we're going to backtrack a little bit, and we're going to talk about the boyfriend. Because, of course, you know, the boyfriend is always usually the first person looked at.
Yeah, it's always the people closest.
And they had an argument that night, which to me is like, you know, definitely could lead me to think that. But Tony does not believe that he was involved at any way, shape, or form. And from what I can tell, he was cleared by police as well.
Okay.
When asked if she had any suspicions about him, Tony stated, quote, no, I didn't have any at all because I've been around him and saw him interact with Keisha. And the fact that, you know, he came and talked to me. So she didn't even have to go to him. He came to her.
Right.
And ever since then, he's reached out to try to check on me, if nothing more to say, Ma, keep your head up. She's coming home.
Mm.
Which is like, I know. Tony believes that the girl who was with Keisha that night knows more than she's telling police. But from all the sources I could tell, she has also been cleared.
Huh. Okay.
And they also don't release her name, which I think is kind of interesting because, I mean, I guess she's an adult, so I don't know. I couldn't find her name in any of the sources. I did find the man's name, but I'm just choosing to omit that.
Okay.
And then sadly, as if this caring, compassionate mother has not been through enough, 4 months after her daughter goes missing, her son, Davon, was murdered at the age of 25.
What?
Yeah. There had been an altercation at a local Motel 6, and he was shot to death.
Oh my God.
Thankfully, his killer was arrested. However, he did take a plea deal claiming self-defense and was sentenced to only 5 years behind bars.
God, I hate that.
With the loss of her son and her daughter missing, Tony fought for justice for her son while continuing to search for her daughter. She started her own Missing Persons Day event, which happens annually, as well as being part of many other events in the same likeness. She also started the Keshia Jacobs Foundation, whose mission is to be the backbone and pillar of strength for the families of missing persons, to offer many different services that will aid in the search for missing persons, and to provide counsel and support to families and loved ones of the missing.
Aww.
Like I mentioned at the top of the episode, Keshia's case was featured in the Black and Missing documentary on HBO, and Tony was able to get support from them. We talked about, I don't know if you remember, but I did mention them in Relisha Rudd's case, because they did do some, you know, things to help her case as well.
Yeah.
And they were able to actually help provide funding to keep awareness on Keshia's case, to keep her in the public eye, to keep her name, you know, in the media. Mm-hmm. So they have done a lot for this family. Mm. And like I mentioned in Relisha's case, they highlight the injustices of families of missing Black people. Because unfortunately, like we see in a lot of cases of people in color, especially Black people, unfortunately, they do not get the media coverage or the national coverage that we see in a lot of other missing persons cases.
Yeah.
And I know I say that a lot, just like with the knowing your family members, look for them, please. You know, this is the same thing. I will beat this dead horse until there is a change.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all lives matter, but including Black lives. So we need to care about them just as much as we do these other cases, because everyone deserves the coverage. I mean, we say this all the time. What Gabby Petito's case got, like, it is amazing. And, like, she deserved that. But so do these other people.
Yep. No, it's so frustrating that they're not getting the attention. And it drives me crazy.
Yeah. Like, just why not? Why not?
Yeah.
And Tony has reached out to the FBI so many times, and they have never gotten back to her.
That's so frustrating. That's, like, not okay.
And her daughter's been missing since 2016.
That's just, like, why?
Yeah. I don't know. Natalie Wilson, who is from the Black and Missing Foundation, told Dateline, quote, "There is a stereotype that these individuals are bringing this on themselves, and no one will care if they are missing, but their family members do. Yeah. And we have to change that stereotype of that narrative that these are our daughters, our sons, our mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, and they're valuable members of our community."
Yeah.
Keshia is a smart, beautiful young woman. In high school, she was bubbly and outgoing, which made her a popular student. She was on her school's cheerleading squad, and her mom was actually the head coach. Despite this, she made sure Keshia kept up with the others, which she did so effortlessly.
Mm-hmm.
Keshia loved sharing everything with her mom. All the drama of high school, especially involving boys. And as I mentioned earlier, she literally shared everything with her mom, and they were super, super close.
Aww.
Keshia graduated from high school and decided to stay close to her family in Richmond. Over the next few months after she graduated, over the next few years after she graduated, she worked different jobs, you know, trying to decide what she wanted to do with her future.
Right.
One job that she absolutely fell in love with was working at a daycare. Keshia was instinctively a nurturing person, so taking care of children came naturally to her.
Aww.
She was also very bright, but was often too trusting of people, which occasionally got her into some trouble, which also makes me think that maybe that's what happened.
What happened,
potentially.
Yeah. There's some really sick people out there, so who knows?
Exactly. And they could have... Whoops, sorry, I just hit my mic. They could have known that about her or sensed that about her and taken advantage of that aspect of her personality. And Keshia was not a fan of partying or staying out late. Like, she would occasionally attend parties, but she preferred to socialize in a different way.
Okay.
Her mother says that she has such a kind and loving spirit. She would just walk up to her mom all the time and just hug her for no reason.
Aww.
Yeah, she would just say, like, "Mom, I need a hug." And her mom would be like, "I just gave you a hug like 5 minutes ago, girl. Like, calm down."
That's so sweet.
But she was just, like, very loving and very, like, what's the word?
Like,
emotional, I guess. Not emotional. Yeah. Language. Yeah, exactly. And the mother-daughter duo also loved watching scary movies together, and they just really, to me, seemed like best friends. Like, they just spent a lot of time together. Like, Keshe was kind of a homebody, and her mom was, you know, she lived with her mom.
Yeah.
And her brother before he passed and everything, so. Keshe has brown hair, brown eyes. She is 5'3 and weighs about 100 pounds. She was last seen wearing black basketball shorts, pink and black Nikes, and a pink scarf. She has the following tattoos: a leaf on her right foot, an animal paw print on her right thigh, or paw prints, excuse me, on her right thigh, and the name Tony beneath a heart on her left shoulder. She also has a flower on her right wrist and shoulder, and her ears are pierced. Anyone with any information about Keshe's disappearance is urged to call the Richmond Police Department's Major Crime Unit at 804-646-0729. You can also reach out to Bring Our Missing Home, Inc. at 810-294-4858. There is also a Facebook page dedicated to Keshe Jacobs' case. I will link that in the show notes, as well as the rest of this contact information, but you can reach out to that page directly. You can also submit a tip or an anonymous tip on the Black and Missing website at blackandmissinginc.com, or you can call them directly at 877-97-B-A-M-F-I. And I'll, like I said, have all this linked in the show notes.
And you can be anonymous. You don't have to come forward with your name. You can be anonymous, and that's okay. You might, if you know something, but maybe you're afraid or whatever, that's okay. You can be anonymous, and nobody will ever find out who you are, but you could help either save someone's life or help a family get closure.
The detective on the case, Detective Early, or Earl, I believe his name was, said he literally, like, we say this a lot, but he literally thinks they're just one tip away from finding out what happened to her.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, her family and, you know, people on the case do think that she was most likely sex trafficked. But that does not mean that she can't come home.
Yeah, not at all. But, like, you never know. Somebody can always be found.
Yeah. So if you're in the Richmond area, we always do, we'll share pictures of, you know, Keshe, her family. And if you live in the Richmond area, keep your eyes peeled for this young woman, because I really want her to be able to return home to her family. I mean, we want all of the people to return home to their family, but I just feel like she's out there, and she's just one whatever away from being able to come home.
And, like, how hard her mom has been trying, and, like, the tragedy that they have been through.
I know. Ugh. Like, gosh. And those were her only two children.
Right.
So
that's so...
I can't imagine. Like, I literally, like, my prayers are with this woman, because I cannot imagine. Like, she said she never really got to mourn her son because of the turmoil she was still going through from her missing daughter.
Right.
Oh, and that's just so, no one should ever have to be in that predicament, that situation. No. So, but that's all I have for you guys today. That is the disappearance of Keshe Jacobs. Keep her mother in your thoughts and prayers. And just, if you see something, say something.
Yeah, 1,000%.
But we will have a new episode for you guys on Thursday. And until then, keep it human.
Bye, guys.